Jill Wolf, 34 years old, January 15th, 2014, Chicago Cultural Center, and I am a fellow hepatitis C advocate.
Kim Morielli McAuliffe, 39, January 15th, 2014, Chicago Cultural Center, hepatitis C advocate and spouse to Michael McAuliffe.
Michael McAuliffe, 50, January 15th, 2014, Chicago Cultural Center. I'm here to talk about hepatitis C, state representative of the 20th District, and here with my wife, Kim.
So, Kim, what's your relationship to the hepatitis C virus, otherwise known as HCV or Hep C?
It's a very personal relationship. My father passed away from complications stemming from hepatitis C. It'll be 2 years in April that he will have passed. We found out that he had hepatitis C at a point to where there was nothing that we could do about it. So my hope is that we can, through talking about this, raise awareness so the public can be armed with the information they need to make educated and smart decisions. I think that will ultimately save lives.
And what do you mean there was nothing you could do about it? He had Hep C, but there was nothing you could do.
Well, there's a point when you, if you detect hepatitis C early enough, you can be cured. So that's really the key to all this, is making sure that you find out early and you do something about it. We found out at a point where there was nothing that we could do about it because it had already developed into cancer and then ultimately liver failure, organ failure, and then death. My dad found out he had hepatitis C probably 10 years ago from his primary physician, but was never followed up on. It was like, you have hepatitis C, okay. And he went home and went about his day-to-day life. And nothing really changed. So there really wasn't an education component to what hepatitis C was. He'd mentioned it to my brothers and I, and, you know, we're educated people. And we thought, okay, if hepatitis C, you know, what does that mean? We had no idea that it could lead to all of the things that it led to and taken us down this path. It was very, very sad and very painful for him and for his whole entire family. So the lesson learned is that, you know, if there's something that you can fix, do what you need to do to fix it. And I think that, again, hopefully by doing things like this, we'll let people know what some of the risk factors are and educate the public. And I think, you know, the CDC has talked about some of the problems with hepatitis C. And, you know, I think the statistics speak for themselves. Roughly 75% of people infected with HIV know they have it. It's the exact opposite with hepatitis C. Only 25% of the population knows that they're infected. That's a problem. Because potentially we could eradicate hepatitis C from life, from our vocabulary, but not with the lack of education that's out there right now. Because if you don't know you have it, if you don't know that you're in the at-risk group, if you don't know that you could have been exposed to it, then there's no way that we're ever going to fix this. And some of the ways people get it, I mean, blood transfusions. Prior to 1992, maybe you were in the hospital delivering a baby, maybe you had surgery, maybe you were in a car accident. They didn't really test for hepatitis C, HCV before 1992, so there's the chance that you have contracted it that way. Vietnam-era veterans are especially high risk for hepatitis C. I mean, our veterans, because when they were in the service, inoculations in that time weren't sterile. So instead of having a new needle for every single person that was inoculated, they literally lined you up. And if you watch any of the movies that show the old war movies, they lined them up and they went down the line and they just inoculate them one after the other.
So they didn't use universal precautions.
They did
at
not.
That point. And so they wouldn't change the needle. In the cases of blood donation or plasma, the actual machines that were processing the blood to take the plasma out and actually would bring it back into the body actually harbored the hepatitis C virus, which is a very hardy virus. And you mentioned HIV and the comparison, the easy comparison of HIV, because we know so much about it, because it's the other most common bloodborne infection. But according to the CDC that you talked about, our estimates, which is based on NHANES data, which is a national household survey data, it's only conservative estimates of what hepatitis C virus is in the United States. And the conservative estimate is that at least four times as many people are living with hepatitis C than HIV, of which, like you said, 75% are undiagnosed. And so bringing back to your dad, we talked about, like, there were preventative things that possibly could have been done. And when we look at head something been done or he had been diagnosed earlier, he may not have developed. In your dad's case, it was hepatocellular carcinoma. Well, and knowing that, and Representative Michael McCullough, if you were watching the same piece with Kim, what, you know, given the position you have as a politician in Illinois, what, how did this hit you personally, besides this was your father-in-law that had passed, and how would you, were you able to use your political influence to do something?
After my father-in-law passed away and seeing how he passed away, and it was something new for me to learn about hepatitis C, my uncle, about a year later, came up to me and told me that he had hepatitis C. He was getting treated for it. It was out of his system for about a year, and it came back. And I think he was looking at my father-in-law, being about the same age, 60 years old at that time, and thinking, this is going to be me. I'm going to be just like your father-in-law, and I'll be, I don't have much longer, much longer to live, or he didn't know what the future held. So he told me in confidence, and then he passed away a couple of months later, last May. I was down in Springfield. I remember waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we had, I thought about doing a task force about hepatitis C. Leading into that time, my wife and her brothers and family and friends were just all talking about this hepatitis C and why did people get it? What can we do? What can we do to prevent other people that have this disease or virus that are walking around that don't even know it? What can we do to educate them? And that's when I thought coming up with a task force would answer a lot of the questions that we were asking amongst ourselves. So my idea was to get a bunch of professionals together, some legislators. I did find out a state legislator had hepatitis C, and he admitted that in front of our the committee that we had passed the bill out of. In a short amount of time, too, when I introduced the bill and got it passed in a couple of days, I had different people in Springfield, secretaries whose brothers died of hepatitis C, and they were all quiet about it.
And so with that, let's sort of end on the main notes that your dad's shouting from through this task force, through you all, through me and my work. What are these main messages we really want to make sure people hear?
I think knowing in your, if you're in the at-risk group, knowing if your family members are in the at-risk group, and let's not complicate things. Let's make it real simple. If you're a baby boomer, get tested. It couldn't be more simple than that. And we want to hear these stories. I mean, I think the biggest... one of the best things that we can do is let people know it's okay. You know, if you have hepatitis C, don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Talk about it because you're going to be helping somebody else. And I think that the more we make people comfortable with the fact that they, if they have hepatitis C, it's okay, the more we're going to start the dialogue. And I want to commend StoryCorps and Caring Ambassadors for allowing us this opportunity because I really feel like this is one of the first things that we're doing to really broadcast this